Well, good morning. Thank you all, Trinity. Thank you so much for having me here this morning. I appreciate it very, very much. And worship team and all that planned the service, thank you all for doing such an excellent job in leading us. Thank you. I feel like we've already sung and read and prayed my sermon already. I'm still going to preach it, though, but because my friend asked me, so I'm still going to do that. But I just thank you guys so much for leading us so well in that. I do have a bone to pick with Clark. Where is Clark? Where is he? He's back there. He's back. Oh, I see him. Yes. And now, earlier when he introduced me, I appreciate it. He said, there's a wonderful preacher coming, and then we've had the interns preaching also. I've been listening. You all have had wonderful preachers every week in this series, not just today. And so I thank God for you, Clark, and Mitchell and Mason, for bringing the word and how God is developing you guys as preachers and raising you up. We praise God for you. So you have nothing to apologize for. Thank you, brothers, for preaching the word. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open with me. As we mentioned, we're continuing in the series in Proverbs, and we'll be in Proverbs chapter 8, and that is page 532 in your pew Bible. Now, you might notice in your bulletin it says that the sermon is on verses 22 to 36. And a couple of weeks ago when I gave Clark the text, I said, man, I got to just preach on 22 to 36. I can't do the whole chapter. We'll be there too long. And so I said, just do 22 to 36. But then the last couple of weeks, as I've been working on it, I thought, man, I just can't leave it out. And so I'm going to try my best to do the whole chapter. It might be a quick flyover, but we want to do the whole thing and not keep you here too long. The theme for the message I'm calling today is very simply, and you've heard it already, that is Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Already in our series, we've heard about God's wisdom. Our brother Goldstein, thank you, Dr. Goldstein, my colleague and friend, for introducing the series and kicking us off so well with verse 1:7. Right, which reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and got us off to a great start in this series. We define wisdom as the skill of godly living. And we looked at that through the lens as our other brothers came and preached the word through the lenses of friendship and sexuality and words and work. And they did a wonderful job of showing us godly wisdom in each of these areas. But way back, Pastor Chris, Dr. Chris, what do y'all call him here? Chris, all right. Chris, amen. Well, I know you call him that, but what does everybody else call? But my friend brought the word, and he laid out for us two paths. And he preached from Proverbs chapter 9. And the two paths were, the one was the path following Lady Wisdom. And the other path was that of Lady Folly. Well, here in chapter 8, in the chapter that we're in, we have an entire chapter where we hear the words of Lady Wisdom, who is the personification of God's wisdom, and who points ultimately, as we've been saying, to Christ, the wisdom of God. And I'm going to break down this passage and preach a message, but as I do that, I do not want to obscure the beauty of this chapter. It is such a beautiful passage describing the wisdom of God. And so I don't want us to miss that, even as we're trying to learn what we can from the text. So once again, our text is Proverbs 8. I'm going to read just verses 1 through 11 and then pray and we'll jump in. But hear now the reading of the Word of God. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gates in front of the town. At the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear. For I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth, Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. This is God's word. Let's go to God together in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the word of God. Your word testifies about itself that it's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. And Lord, that's really good news, because that means that you're able to get beneath the surface with us, to get to our hearts, our minds, our very thoughts. And so we pray that you would do that in the time that we have together now. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this place already. We pray that you might continue to have your way among us. Help us to understand these words that we read, so that we're not just hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. May you be glorified in what you do in the lives of your people in this time. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. One of the things I love seeing as I've been watching through the series is seeing your commitment as a church to the development of younger leaders. And I appreciate that so much, because that's what was invested in me. I was thinking in my own time when I was in seminary back in Baltimore, Maryland, many years ago, and I had a pastor that invested in me. And he gave me opportunities to preach on a semi-regular basis, and he would include me in the pastor's meetings and elders meetings. He would take me along just to have me be there, and I'm so grateful for that. Well, one of the meetings he would include me on was a pastor's meeting we had with local pastors in our neighborhood, about four or five of us representing three or four churches. My wife remembers. I'm so sorry. I forgot to mention my wife, Evie, is here. Covenant Seminary graduate is also here, that knows many of y'all. I brought my own amen section here today. So just in case, you know, you never know when you're going to need that. But he would include me in these pastors' meetings, and so I went to this pastor's meeting, and one of the pastors was this older African-American pastor who planted a church at 65 years old in our neighborhood. And he was an amazing man. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he had all of these wise, wise sayings. And he had this classic black pastor voice. He would say, amen, amen. It was that scratchy voice. And one of the things that he would say often is he would say, being a pastor is the best hard job in the world. Being a pastor, he said, is the best hard job in the world. And whenever he would say that, I would say, amen, amen, that's right. That's right. But one meeting we came, and it was right after I found out that I was going to get a call to be a senior pastor in another part of Baltimore. I was about to graduate from seminary and was going right away to take this call. And so we came and we shared that in the pastor's meeting. And so he heard it and he just rejoiced. He said, amen. And he said it again, being a pastor is the best hard job in the world. And I said, amen. And then he got quiet and very serious and both loving and stern. He leaned down right in my face and he looked at me over the glasses like that. Have you ever had an older person look at you over the glasses? Right, you know you're going to get some wisdom right then. And so he looked at me and he said, son, I know you think you know what I mean, but now you're about to find out. And a couple years later, I saw him at an event, and I said, Pastor Allen, I know what you meant. And he said, amen. Amen. Because he knew that it was wonderful that I had the seminary education, and I thank God for that. And the ministry experiences that I was able to gain, thanks be to God for all of those things. But he said, you're going to need wisdom for all that you're going to encounter. There's going to be lots of times where you're going to say, I didn't learn that in seminary. But seminary is meant to give you a foundation so that you have wisdom to be able to apply all that you've learned to the situations that you're in. And that's not just true for future pastors, is it? It's true for all of us. This book of Proverbs lays before us, and you can picture Lady Wisdom looking down before us over her glasses and saying, listen, I know you think you know about life. I know you think you know about work and about wealth and about sexuality and about your words and about friendship and how to live life. I know you think you know, but you need my wisdom. You need me to be able to walk in a godly way that honors him as God's covenant people. And ultimately, as we mentioned, this all points, Lady Wisdom points to Christ, the wisdom of God. And here's our big idea for the morning. And it's very simply that because God has given us Jesus Christ, who is the very wisdom of God, it means for us that we must pursue God's wisdom. God has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ, the very wisdom of God. And so what that means for us, people of God, is we're not just here taking notes or nodding our heads saying, what wonderful lessons we've been given, what wonderful advice. We're meant to pursue this wisdom of God so that we might live in a way that God has called us to live in this world. So how does this wonderful chapter of Proverbs 8 help us? That's what we want to look at, and we want to pull out three things in this passage. We're going to see the call to pursue wisdom. We're going to see the case to pursue wisdom. And then lastly, we'll see that we'll be confronted with the choice to pursue wisdom. And so we'll see the call, the case, and the choice. And I'm going to do my best to not keep you too long as we go through those. So let's start with the call. And that's what we heard read earlier from the very beginning of the passage. And here in verses 1 through 3, we have Lady Wisdom issuing a call that she wants us to answer. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way? And I want you to picture this. At the crossroads, she takes her stand. Verse 3, beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. This is the place in town where everyone gathers, where everyone congregates. And so she wants everyone to listen and understand the call that is before them as they gather before these gates. And then she issues the call. First, in verses 4 and 5, we see who she's calling, the subjects of the call. She says, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. So who is she calling to? It's not just the men, it's everybody. It's a call to all who come past these gates. You need to pursue this wisdom. And particularly if we look at verse 5, O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. And our brothers before had reminded us that when it talks about fools here, it's not so much talking about their intellect as it is talking about their pride. A fool is a person who says, I don't need God. I don't need to learn from anybody else. I know all there is to know already. And so she is pleading with the simple ones, with the fools, with everyone, to hear this call. And then in verses 6 through 11, you have the substance of the call. And I want you to listen to the integrity as we describe these words. And so again, we've been reminded, our brother Aaron, when he started off the series, he told us that wisdom isn't just about intellect, it's about character. And that's what we hear in these words. Hear, for I will speak, verse 6, noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. We're talking about the very wisdom of God. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight, verse 9, to him who understands. And they're right to those who find knowledge. And then we see the value of her wisdom in these last verses 10 and 11. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Why? Verse 11. For wisdom is better than jewels. And all that you may desire cannot compare with her. This is the call. And so how do we respond to the call today? Well, we have to ask, first of all, how would the original audience have been expected to respond to this call? Very simply, listen to it. And that's the same thing that we are called to do, to listen. And again, this is not merely good advice. This is an invitation to pursue the very wisdom of God. And again, we've said, well, how does this point to Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God? Well, Jesus Christ also calls us to pursue wisdom when he calls us to pursue himself. If you think of that passage, you can put that up there in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus Christ, the very wisdom of God, calls and says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And here's the promise, you will find rest for your souls. Why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the call of wisdom. Now listen, there's lots of times when we receive calls, and now we can all look at our phone and we can see who's calling us. And we have a choice. We can decline. We can let it go into voicemail. We can block the call. Wisdom is pleading with us not to do any of those things, but to pick up and answer. How many of us have found ourselves, maybe even today, wearied and heavy laden because we've been trying to follow our own wisdom? He says, come unto me. That is the call of wisdom. All that are weary and heavy laden, and the promise is you will find rest for your souls. This is the call to pursue wisdom. Now let's move secondly. The second thing we see here is the case that wisdom makes to pursue wisdom. The case to pursue wisdom. And here in this section, we see a couple of things. We see the blessings of wisdom and the beginnings of wisdom. Beginning with verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell, and wisdom tells you some of her homegirls here, some people that she meets with. I dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. That's who she keeps company with. Then in verse 13, we see a verse again about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. How does that work? Because when we fear and revere God, we begin to love the things that he loves. But then we're also repulsed by the things that he is repulsed by. And so it says here in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. And then again in verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. And then in verses 15 and 16, we see some of the impact of Lady Wisdom on people that rule, people in authority. Verse 15, by me kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. And that's saying, when we see the world working rightly, it's because those who lead it are abiding by wisdom. But if we're tempted to say, well, the wisdom is just for them, we look at verse 17. It's not just for the rulers. It's not just for the kings. Look at verse 17. I love those who love me. Those who seek me diligently find me. Again, so this is not just for the 1% or the great elite, whoever it is. This is a call to all of us. Those who love me, those who seek me, wisdom says, you will find me. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and righteousness. Now, it's an interesting paradox. On the one hand, wisdom says, don't pursue wealth first. That's not wise. Pursue me first. But then the fruit of that ends up being God blessing his people. If you look at verse 19, she continues, my fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. Verse 20, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. These are the blessings of Lady Wisdom as she makes her case, because she wants us to choose her. That's when we get to the third point. But now in verse 22, there's a shift. She moves from describing her blessings to describing her beginnings. And how far back does wisdom go? How far back does the wisdom of God go? It goes long before Solomon comes. It goes all the way back to the beginning of everything. We find that in verse 22. Listen, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. She's taking us back to Genesis 1 and 2. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. And then in verses 24 and 25, she begins to describe God's wisdom, Lady Wisdom, in the creation of the waters. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. And then she moves in verse 25 to describe the land. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Verse 26, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. And then in verse 27, she moves from describing the waters and the land to describing the heavens. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. What a beautiful picture. Verse 29, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. And then in these last verses, 30 and 31, she describes what she's doing. Then I was beside him like a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. What was she rejoicing in? Verse 31. Rejoicing in his inhabited world, the world that God made. But not only that, the very end of the verse, and delighting in the children of man. What is the wisdom of God delighting in? What is God delighting in? It says, look to your left. Look to your right. That's what he's delighting in. The people of God. The people made in the image and likeness of God. This is the case for wisdom. Don't you want it? She describes her blessings and her beginnings. How do we apply? What do we take away? One, we've already done it a little bit. The first is to give praise. I love the reading that you all chose today. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. If you read the context of that passage, Paul has just been giving this amazingly deep theological perspective on election and all of these things with the Jews and the Gentiles, and he just stands back and says, I just got to praise God for a moment for his wisdom and how great he is. And he quotes here from Isaiah, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? The answer, nobody. Who has given him a gift that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so the first application here is to give praise and honor to God for who he is. Can we do that for just a moment? Give praise to God. You can clap. You can say glory to God, hallelujah, any of those things. He's worthy of all the glory and all the honor, and all the praise. And so that's our first response to the wisdom of God, is just to praise him. Another response, though, and this one is probably not as fun, and that is to submit to him. And what I mean by that is, or the context I'm thinking of, is particularly in the midst of suffering. And our elder, Matt, I thank God for him sharing the suffering that's going on right in your midst, right here. And he asked those questions. God, where are you? Where's your wisdom there? I don't understand. Thank you, brother. I don't understand what's going on. Explain it to me. Any of y'all do those Bible in a year reading programs? Anybody? So in mine, in the Old Testament section, it just went through Job. So in Job 1 and 2, if you go back and look at that story, you get, it's an amazing, you get the curtain pulled back on the scene in heaven. And the Lord, the sovereign Lord, allows the evil one to wreak havoc in Job's life and inflict horrible, horrific suffering on him. And then from chapters 3 all the way to chapter 37, really, is Job and his friends going back and forth about that. Job's friends, if you take the things out of context that they're saying, they sound very wise. But what they're saying is, Job, the reason that you're suffering, it has to be because of your sin. But they didn't read Job 1 and 2. They don't know what God was up to. And then Job himself doesn't understand, and Job begins by the end to condemn God. And then God shows up, and the way that God explains it here, beginning in Job 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. And then he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Is this the Lord being harsh with Job? No, he's describing before Job, he's laying out a picture of Job, of his wisdom. It's interesting that he doesn't say, Job, let me take you back to Job 1 and 2 and I'll explain exactly what was happening so that you understand. He doesn't do that, does he? What does he do if you keep reading through the rest of these next few chapters? He does what wisdom does here in chapter 8. He describes the very wisdom of God in creation. As if to say, Job, if I can handle that, then surely I can handle your situation. I know you're in pain. I know you're struggling, but will you trust me? If I could handle all of this in my wisdom, then certainly I can handle all that you're going through. And I say that to you this morning, and I don't say that flippantly. To maybe those in this room, maybe there's those that are watching online, that you barely made it in today. What are the things that are bringing you to tears? What are the things that are making you weary? What are the things that are causing you to cry out and say, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? Continue to bring those things to him. But he shows us here that we can trust him. Because if he's wise enough to be able to do this and create all of this and all of this, then he's wise enough to handle what we're going through, even if we don't understand. And the last thing here, the last thing this calls us to, in addition to praise and submission, is longing. And we actually know more than what they knew at the time, because they might have come away from this chapter and this section in particular just longing to hold on to the very wisdom of God. Longing for an expression of the wisdom of God that they could grab onto. And this is pointing forward to that wisdom of God that would come in his Son, Jesus Christ, who again Paul describes not only as the power of God, but also as the very wisdom of God. And I believe the New Testament writers, some of them may have had this chapter in mind as they were writing things about him, like John 1, those first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then listen, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians 1, Paul writes in verse 16, for by him All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. The one who is the very wisdom of God. Again, this goes back a lot further than Solomon. In Matthew 12, Jesus would say, something greater than Solomon is here. And that's me. And so the application is to satisfy that longing through coming to Jesus Christ, who is the very wisdom of God. You want to know God's wisdom, you got to know him. Now let's go to the last thing, and we'll end with this. And this is a short one. And that is the choice. We've already looked at the call to pursue wisdom. And we've looked at the case to pursue wisdom. We want to end looking at the choice that it sets before us here in this very last section of this great chapter. Verse 32, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Then verse 35, again, talking about the benefits of this choice to pursue wisdom. Verse 35, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. What will you choose this morning? The choice is to pursue Lady Wisdom, who's pointing ultimately to Jesus Christ, the very wisdom of God. What is the alternative? Verse 36. But he who fails to find me injures himself. And that word that's translated injures there, it sounds in our language, it sounds like it's an accident. But the word is actually, it's purposeful. It's on purpose. You're injuring yourself on purpose. All who hate me love death. And so what will we choose? Isn't it obvious what we should choose? Right? It's very simple, isn't it? Then why do we make it so hard? If these are the blessings of pursuing wisdom, and these are the consequences of not doing so, then why don't we do it, y'all? What's wrong with us? As we think about all those areas that we talked about in friendship, in sexuality, in wealth, in work, in our words, in all of those things, we know the right choice. Isn't it obvious? Then why do we choose the wrong one? Well, this points us back, just as chapter 8 already pointed us back to the beginning of the Word of God in Genesis 1 and 2. This question points us back there also to Genesis 3. The entrance of sin into the world when our foreparents, Adam and Eve, chose the way of death rather than the way of life. In Genesis chapter 3, in the middle of that conversation with the serpent and the woman and the man who was there, verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes. And then listen to this phrase. And that the tree was to be desired to what? To make one wise. Isn't that interesting? They chose to follow the way of the evil one because it looked like it would make them wiser. And we've been repeating the same mistake ever since, haven't we? We've been doing the same thing. Now let me ask you, how did the serpent tempt them to do this? What was his method? Isn't it interesting? He doesn't try to get them to deny the existence of God. He gets them instead to deny the goodness of God. To say, God's not really for you. God doesn't know or doesn't want what's best for you. Go ahead and take it for yourself. Doesn't it look right? Go ahead. And then what happened as a result? Death enters because they trusted in their own wisdom. And what did that lead to? Incredible alienation between people and God, but not just that, between people and people, and even between people and all creation itself because of that decision. And we do the very same thing, y'all. And we see the very same effects, don't we? In our own world. We see the alienation with God. We see it with one another. We see it with creation. We feel it within ourselves and in our world. So what is our hope then? To be able to make the choice to pursue wisdom. Now my kids will often ask me, Dad, what you gonna preach about on Sunday? And I'll say, Jesus. Doesn't matter what it is. They're like, oh, I knew you were going to say that. But that's always the answer, isn't it? What is our hope? To make the choice to pursue wisdom. It's only in choosing to pursue Christ, who is the very wisdom of God. And maybe you're like my kids and you're saying, Dad, you always say that. Well, how is it that we're even able to choose Jesus? How is it that we're able to have the very wisdom of God? Well, if we think back to the first Adam, he was given a command, wasn't he, about a tree. And the command was, obey this command and you will live. But he disobeyed the command. And he brought death to himself and to us and to all of the universe. But the second Adam, thanks be to God, Christ, the very wisdom of God, he was also given a command about a tree. And the command to him was, obey me and you will be crushed. And he obeyed, bringing us life, even though it brought him death. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 52, which is right before Isaiah 53. I know, deep theological teaching here. But the end of 52 is actually the lead-in to what comes in 53. And isn't it interesting that it says in verse 13, behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up. He shall be exalted. And then Isaiah 53 goes on to tell us how he was, by saying that he'd be bruised for our transgressions. He'd be crushed for our iniquities. But the punishment that brings us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Because of the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, because of his death and resurrection, being raised to life, you and I can choose the very wisdom of God. The message of the cross, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, is foolishness to those who are perishing. Oh, but to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. It's the message by which we are saved, and it's the message that we proclaim about Christ, the very wisdom of God, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where will you put your hope today? Maybe there's some that have come. Maybe there's some that are watching online that don't know him yet. And you are surely experiencing all those areas of alienation that I mentioned before. Separation from God. But not only that, from people around you, and even in this very creation. But there is one, Jesus Christ, who brings a comprehensive redemption. Because through the cross, God reconciles to himself all things by making peace through his blood that was shed on a cross for you. And so come to Jesus Christ and see that alienation taken away and replaced by reconciliation with God. And to those who know Jesus Christ today, who come, how are you going to respond? How am I going to respond to this call and this case and this choice to pursue wisdom? Our call is to daily, moment by moment, choose his wisdom rather than our own, rather than the wisdom of this world. Won't you today heed the call? to pursue wisdom? Won't you today hear the case that he makes to pursue wisdom? And won't we make daily the choice to pursue the wisdom of God, which is Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your Son, the very wisdom of God that has been given to us through what we might describe as a foolish means, the idea of a cross, and you gaining the ultimate victory through what seemed like the ultimate defeat. But we thank you that he conquered death and rose from the grave so that we might rise from death unto life through faith in him. Lord, if there's any who've come today, any who are watching, that don't know you, I pray even now, you might move in their hearts to cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And may they repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, for those who know you, Lord, you know how we come today, what we come in need of. And so we continue to look to you to care for us, to guide us, to hold us in your wisdom. Lord, we don't know what you're going to do and when you're going to do it, but we know that you're good and we can trust you. And if we ever doubt that, we can look to your Son. He who didn't spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Be glorified through your people. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.